The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back.
Hey, welcome back to the top of the second hour of National Intel Report, live on Republic Broadcasting Network and Liberty Lighthouse on Mojo 50 Radio, Patriot Nation Radio Network, and anywhere else you might find the program. I want to apologize for anybody who might be trying to watch in video form. I'm having technical difficulties. I have no camera, but I don't really care because this is primarily a radio show anyway. So it is also a live call-in radio show. If you would like to get on air, you want to hear your voice broadcast over the satellite radio airwaves and the internet radio airwaves and wherever else we are, 512-248-8252 or 800-313-9443 for the toll-free line. So far, you get to pick what we talk about. So far, I've talked about how President Biden is being handed cards with the names and faces of the reporters he's supposed to call on, in what order, with the questions that they're going to ask. And though you can't tell from the picture, I would suspect that the answers that he's going to give are on those cards as well. Now, the Los Angeles Times has denied that they submit the questions to the White House before a press conference, even though I'm pretty sure that was a Washington Times reporter's face on that card that had the question that was about to be asked. But they've denied that they do that. So that's one of the topics that we've talked about so far. Another one was that the Biden administration is now filing a lawsuit to challenge the Tennessee ban on the gender-affirming care of minors, because Joe Biden wants your child. Let me emphasize that just a little bit more. Joe Biden wants your child, who is not old enough to vote, who's not old enough to drive or drink or smoke or join the armed forces, wants that child to be able to alter their life forever through gender-affirming care. Those are the two headlines we've talked about thus far. And Patrick in Texas on line one, how are you this evening, sir?
I'm doing just fine. I hope you're doing pretty good. You mentioned in the start of the show you want to talk about the Constitution. And, I would imagine it's what our guiding documents for our federal government. As long as the Bill of Rights is actually the main thing that pertains to the general population, the people. And that they had to fight for like 2 years to get that to be put down on paper, because the people that actually wrote the Constitution, were Robert Morris and all the attorneys that did it. They basically just crafted whatever they wanted. They admitted things, added things in, and welfare and proper clauses, they just made it the welfare convenient clause, as Thomas Jefferson said. It's pretty much done. They already, had already edited everything out right from the very beginning. What do you think about that?
Well, I think you're right for the most part, and I think more than anybody else, we have Patrick Henry to thank for the Bill of Rights being written. There were basically two camps regarding the Bill of Rights. There was the camp that said that, and I think this is a legitimate argument to be had here, that there was a camp that said that if you list the rights, then it's going to be perceived as a complete list, and they'll take away anything they want that's not on that list. And there was a fear and a danger of listing the rights. And I think that was legitimate. But now, with, you know, the 247 years of history to look back upon, thank God Patrick Henry convinced Virginia that they should not ratify the Constitution without the promise of a Bill of Rights, because they already stomp all over our Bill of Rights as it exists today as much as possible, they being our federal government. They stomp all over it all the time. COVID was a giant spotlight on their disdain for our rights. And without that Bill of Rights, we wouldn't have anything to point to and say, ah, wait a minute, federal government, you can't do that.
That's what happened, like in England, you know, when they with Magna Carta. The king was just stomping all over the people's rights, and their favorite trick was to incarcerate people, lock them away, and keep them there until they, you know, they get weak, and then they'll sign anything, and so that was one of their favorites, and some other nefarious things, but you know, you bring the prisoner forward. I can't think of the name for it right now, but it was that, and then there was also the grand jury come out of the Magna Carta. Now that was a very powerful weapon for the actual people, because you didn't have to have anything. Government approval, nothing. You could investigate. You could bring them up in front of your court. But they, unfortunately, that was overturned. It was overrun by the law establishment. They took it away from the people, and they put it under the legal system. And they took full control of that. Now it's completely, used as a weapon against us. But anyway, we tried, you know, they tried, but these slick little lawyers, they have ways around things, and it takes them a while. They'll bribe a bunch of politicians or kings or whatever, and they'll get what they want.
That's true. But lawyers ruin everything, or at least make everything more complicated, that's for sure. Patrick, there's all of a sudden, a pile of callers piling up behind you. I'm going to have to let you go. Thank you very much. I greatly appreciate the fact that you brought us back to the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, because that is my focus. That's why I want to focus on all the time. With Dr. Jen Vandewater being on in the last half hour, did you know that there was almost a medical freedom amendment in the Bill of Rights? But it was one of the ones that didn't make it through the process. And right now, today, in 2023, there's a pretty significant push to make a medical freedom amendment, amendment number 28 to the U.S. Constitution, which I think I would support that. But let's move on. Moving on to Francis in North Carolina, line 3. Welcome to the show, Francis.
Hey, young man.
How you doing?
Oh, my. What can I tell you? Staying busy. You really do need to go easy on Joy Boy.
Joy Boy.
I mean, he has a rough job ahead of him. I mean, he has to have a hanky tucked in his top so whenever he brings his insurer, he doesn't spill it all over him. Unless he happens to have the pleasure of a straw to suck it down with. So, I mean, I don't doubt he probably has the questions on the card along with the answers that's already been pre-done ahead of time. But we really need to take it easy on this dude. I mean, the dear little boy, I mean, he has such a psychologically challenging job to figure out which color socks to put on along with what type of shoes and so forth. Thankfully, he does not have to tie his shoelaces.
Well, I feel bad for the guy. I honestly do feel bad.
I feel bad
for him in that I believe what he's going through right now is elder abuse. I don't think he has enough sense to even understand that he is being used like a marionette, that he is a puppet. Now, I have said from the beginning, the moment he first announced, I said that Joe Biden was a meat puppet for his party. And this is before I realized he was completely freaking senile. He was a meat puppet for the Democratic Party. He's been a meat puppet for the Democratic Party since he first joined the Senate in 1973.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you something. In light of that comment, the aspect of them trying to do something about the state of Tennessee as far as their legislation is concerned about children and the age that they have various things done and so forth, the federal government needs to butt their nose out of that, because it has nothing, unless they, the federal government pays the bills of those parents in that state, they need to butt their nose out and leave the parents deal with that, not them.
Ding, 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 ding. There is nothing in the U.S. Constitution that mentions medical anything. Therefore, as far as I'm concerned, the federal government has no authority or jurisdiction over anything having to do with medical anything.
I mean, I've heard the comment that government influence basically ends at the skin level, unless they're trying to adulterate that like everything else they're trying to adulterate, but out, unless you're paying their bills, but out. Let the family deal with the growth of their children and so forth.
Here's the problem with that, the way that you just framed it. I completely agree with what you're saying, but the way that you framed it, the wording that you chose, unless you're paying their bills. Well, guess what, my friend? You are paying their bills. And so is everybody else in the country.
No. I'm talking about if the federal government is paying the everyday person's family's bills, not the other way around.
Yeah, but the federal government is paying everything to everybody. The federal government, the way it exists today, is taking money from you and I and giving it back to the states. So anybody in any state who ever accepts a penny of anything from anyone can be tied to the federal government. And that's where they think they have their jurisdiction.
That's where they're misled. That's where they're misled. Because, quite frankly, their control ends there in that 10-mile square of D.C., let alone the military complex. But otherwise, you know, hands off. Back. I'll put it this way. The quote, a lame line from a film back in the 90s, put your hands up and step away from the child. Of course, in the film, it was put your hands up and step away from the monkey. But it was from a very comical film. I won't quote the name because you probably already know what it is, but it was funny. With that, I'll have lime, coconut, and pineapple with my pumpkin pie, since Corona's been adulterated by a drag queen.
Oh, wait, before you go.
Dear.
So you got the Bud Light Dylan Mulvaney thing, right? And then now you got the Tucker Carlson, you know, leaving Fox News thing. Yeah. I saw the funniest meme I've ever seen, and I'm not going to do it justice because this is a radio show and I'm trying to describe something that's visual, but it was basically comment that says, you know, hey, Bud Light tried to lose more money than any other company in one day possible. And then Fox News said, hold my beer.
Oh, that is so wrong. On so many levels, that is so wrong. On that note, I'm gone. I'm out of here.
Peace be with you. A little explanation of that, in case you live in a cave. Of course, Tucker Carlson has left Fox News, and Tucker Carlson was the biggest ratings draw of any news show, primetime or otherwise. More people watch Tucker Carlson than any other news show any time of day on any network anywhere, and all of a sudden he's left Fox News. You could only assume that he was fired. When he left, the Fox News stock has dropped $600 million in value. It's down about 4% or something, 5% from something like that. $600 million in stock value, which is roughly what Bud Light stock did right after they announced the Dylan Mulvaney partnership. Go woke, go broke, as they say. Moving on, we've got, who do we have? We have Sarah in Oregon on line five.
Hey, everybody. This is Sarah.
Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Sarah. Download the Freedom Hub app from Spreely.media. So get your news instead of Fox. Like the Daily Mojo. Bye.
Bye, Sarah. Sarah is, as I say often, Sarah plugs our show on and many other shows. She's a warrior for free speech platforms. But this sounds like a good point for me to tell you about one of my favorite sponsors, a friend of mine, Romika Designs. Romika Designs is laser engraved, laser cut, custom creations just in time for Mother's Day. Mother's Day is, today's the 27th. Mother's Day is about 3 weeks away. So if you want to get mom the perfect custom created, laser engraved, laser etched, laser cut Mother's Day gift, go to romikadesigns.com. That's R-O-M-I-K-A designs.com. And use code Lighthouse when you're there, and I'd greatly appreciate that. And they'll get you a little bit of a discount and a couple of pennies in my pocket because, apparently I need to buy a new computer. If you are one of those unfortunate few who usually watch the video live stream to see my ugly mug, you may notice that you just see a throbbing logo on the screen as I speak because my computer apparently can no longer handle the data feed of a live video camera. That's sad, but it is what it is. This is a radio show, so we do radio stuff. The camera was just for those few people that might want to see my awesome beard that unfortunately is attached to a fugly face. Moving back to some other headlines in the news. So we got Joe Biden and his stuff. Joe Biden's got a bunch of stuff. One of the ones that really caught my eye and really kind of bothers me, and most people are going to say, it's just some little thing. What do you care? It's students in Michigan. Two students are suing their school district in Michigan because they were wearing Let's Go Brandon sweatshirts. And the school district said, no, you can't do that. So these are middle schoolers. So we're talking, you know, 7th, 8th grade-ish. And they wear these Let's Go Brandon sweatshirts to school. And I believe it was an assistant principal who said, no, you've got to take those off. Those are vulgar or profane. And, no, they're not. And I think this is something really worth discussing. So the Let's Go Brandon is a, shall we say, sanitized version of F Joe Biden. So this school district, which does allow political clothing, it does allow political statements on clothing in their school. These kids wore Let's Go Brandon sweatshirts to school, and they were told that they have to take them off. Now, the excuse given by the excuse given was that they're profane and vulgar. Well, no, it's not. It's a sanitized version of profanity and vulgarity. We all know the story, right? We all know where the Let's Go Brandon came from. If you don't, there's this NASCAR driver named Brandon who wins a race. There's a reporter there interviewing the winner of the race, Brandon. But the crowd in the raceway is screaming, F Joe Biden. And the either idiotic or quick thinking, I'm not sure which it is, the reporter who was there in a clearly uncomfortable situation says, oh, look, they're chanting, let's go, Brandon. So, of course, that was grabbed by everybody as let's go, Brandon, a euphemistic, sanitized version of F. Joe Biden. And it's become a thing. Like, you say, let's go, Brandon, and everybody knows what it is. But it's not profane. This school district is basically saying, because everybody knows that let's go, Brandon, means F. Joe Biden, that you can't wear it in school. Now, if we allow that to happen, where does it stop? At what point can a sanitized, not profane, not vulgar statement that's used to represent something else, granted, if that can be censored, if that can be stopped, where's the line? How far does that go? Love to hear your thoughts on this, because I think this is a very interesting conversation to be had. So if you've got an opinion on this, the phone line is 512-248-8252 or 800-313-9443. So these students say that criticism of the president is the core of political speech protected by the First Amendment. Well, it is, clearly. But the school district says it's not that you're criticizing the president that you're not allowed to wear it. It's because it represents vulgarity. It's not vulgar, but it represents vulgarity. Now, I don't think this school district has a snowball's chance in the hot place of winning this case if it actually makes it to court. Because the school district does allow political messages. That's very important. They just don't like this particular political message. Now, where have we seen stuff like that before? So, part of their argument thus far has been that, well, you can go to, you know, Wikipedia, and there's a whole Wikipedia page on the Let's Go Brandon. And everybody knows that it actually means this other thing. Yeah, well, everybody knows lots of things mean other things. Where's the line? And keep in mind that this is a school district. Therefore, this is a government office that's trying to censor their First Amendment protected free speech, airing grievances of their government. Anyway, that was something. I think that's a very interesting story. And I think there's a big discussion to be had there because, well, they're students. They haven't yet matured to achieve all of their constitutionally protected rights. But other political speech is allowed. So it's a very, I just think it would be an interesting chat to have. So it's about break time. If you have a thought about that story, I'd love to hear it. 512-248-8252, 800-313-9443. We'll get to that on this commercial break. Be back in about 3 minutes.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Welcome back to the show. It's the final segment. I'm Peter Serafine, and, I've had some technical difficulties tonight, and if you're used to watching the video live stream, I'm sorry, but my ugly bug isn't there. So hopefully you're listening to it on the radio like a normal person, because I've got a face for radio anyway. I was just talking about a story where students got banned from wearing sweatshirts that said, "Let's go Brandon" on it. And I really think it's something to talk about. But hopefully that's what Glenn in Philly wants to talk about, because I really want to have that conversation. Glenn in Philly on line one, welcome to the show.
Hi, Peter. I'm actually hearkening back to something much earlier in the show. You said okay. The final segment. You end on the half hour?
Oh, this is the final segment, as in I end at the top of the hour.
Oh, okay. I see what, okay. But anyway, so I'm calling, I regret to inform you that Heisenberg didn't have a cat. Schrodinger had a cat.
Well, I don't know where the cat came from. The Heisenberg is a tie to Breaking Bad, the television show.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure that out. Now we had Heisenberg. I don't know. I don't follow the show. I know it's about the guy who started cooking drugs, and now he's a big criminal and all that kind of stuff. That's about all I know.
Right. You mentioned had a underground code name of Heisenberg.
That's weird. Now, Heisenberg, he's more of a quantum physics guy rather than chemistry, so I'm still trying to figure that out, too. But Now, seeing you could call the truck Schrodinger's fried cat, and then in small parentheses, fish. Schrodinger's fried cat fish. Because, no, everybody's going to recoil in horror at the idea of frying cat, but not catfish.
Right. So you could kind of it was Heisenberg's cafe.
Oh, cafe. I thought you said cat. Oh, okay. Cafe.
No, who knows what it sounded like? I was having.
You were bleeping all over the place. I got the bandwidth issues going on there. You know,
apparently so, which is weird because before I come up here into my own little home studio, I turn off my television, which you know it's a smart TV, so it uses internet. So I turn it off. I have a hard wire straight to my router, so it's not on Wi-Fi.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't figure out why, if I turn a camera on, I lose everything. It didn't used to do that. It just started like 3 weeks ago. It started getting pretty choppy. So that's when I decided, oh, maybe I need to run a hard wire. So I, you know, dug through the house and fished a wire through the walls and got a wire all the way up here to my second floor studio.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't help.
Well, it might be time to upgrade from that to IBM PC-AT, even though the chiclet keyboard is very nice.
Oh, man. It's actually not that old, which is why I don't know.
Now, maybe a new video card or some extra RAM or something like that.
I'm thinking maybe RAM. I'm also thinking maybe I need to stop buying the cheapest, you know, thing that I can buy. I'm so frugal, especially when it comes to a computer, because I really don't do that much on a computer. So they're like, oh, well, this one's got blah, blah, blah. I'm like, whatever. Can I do X, Y, and Z on this little one over here? Yeah. And they're like, yeah, sure.
I'm wondering.
Here it is 3 years later and it doesn't work anymore.
Yeah, that's weird. It's, because most of the computers today are, you know, off the shelf. Even the cheapies are, you know, have pretty good specs compared to the stuff from a number of years ago. And then the other thing you got to figure, there are other people, you know, on the network who aren't having this problem, who also have, you know, similarly simple arrangements. So, you know, that's odd. I hope you get to the bottom of it. I'm not the guy to help you do it. But, you know, hey, good luck with the home gym. You know, how tall are you? How tall are you?
6'2".
6'2". Okay, see, now that makes you overall leaner than me because I'm 5'11 and 220, so which means you're trimmer than I am. I just right, good.
Technically, according to a doctor, I'm probably in the obese category. I don't consider myself obese. I consider myself overweight. But if you look at the like BMI calculation stuff, I fall into the obese category. I'm 235, 6'2". I mean, I've got a 38-inch waist. I don't think that's that bad. Granted, when I graduated high school, 38.
Oh, that's not bad at all.
Yeah, when I graduated high school, it was a 30, but, you know.
We'll do some rowing. But, all righty. Well, I hope you have good success with that. And I better get going.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Sorry to muddy the waters on the Heisenberg thing there, and there really are no Heisenberg compensators. Sorry to inform the trekkers, you know, but there might be some Heisenbergian overcompensators, but you know, you can't really beat that problem. All right, take care. Thank you. Bye bye.
Thanks. Glenn there in Philly was hearkening all the way back to the first segment of the show. If you joined in the middle or something like that. My stepson and I have the idea of coming up with a Breaking Bad themed food truck, and we're going to sell food that was all in the Breaking Bad TV show at some point. And of course, there'll be like, you know, blue rock candy or something like that. Maybe some chili pea rock candy to mimic the meth of Breaking Bad. But everything else in it was, you know, food straight from the television show, served out of a mid-80s Winnebago Fleetwood RV as the food truck. And we were going to call it the Heisenberg Cafe. And I just think it would be really cool. I think people would come and buy stuff from that food truck just because of the Breaking Bad theme of it. Because Breaking Bad was a great television show. It was incredibly popular. And it's resurging in popularity now that it's like 10 years old. So I think it would be a great idea. So if you're out there listening and you happen to have a mid-1980s Winnebago Fleetwood that you'd like to donate to the cause, we'd be happy to take it and turn it into our food truck. Oh, where were we? Let's go back to some politics. So I live in the great state of Pennsylvania, the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, if you will. And one of the things that I don't like about my Commonwealth is that we are a closed primary state, which means if you are not a Democrat or a Republican, you don't get to vote in primary elections. So for me, I'm registered to the Constitution Party, so I don't have a voice in primary elections at all. If you're registered to the Green Party or the Libertarian Party, you don't have a voice in primaries. If you're independent because you're disillusioned with all of the parties, you don't have a voice in the primary elections. Pennsylvania is one of only 9 states that have completely closed primary elections. But that might change. There's a bill floating around Pennsylvania right now to end the closed primary here in Pennsylvania. And I haven't seen a bill come out of the Pennsylvania State House that I'm more supportive of in a very long time. And if you think about it, you know, I pay taxes. I'm helping to fund this whole process, but I don't have a vote in the primaries. And I've talked about primary elections in the past and older shows. If you want to go back and listen to older episodes, you'll probably find me saying something to the effect of, why is government involved in primaries at all? There really shouldn't be law about primary elections. There is nothing government about a primary election. A primary, whether it's done by election or convention or however it's performed, it is a private organization, i.e. a political party, deciding which candidate they're going to back, which candidate they're going to put on the ballot in the general election. So what does that have to do with state law? The Pennsylvania State Democratic Party, or the Pennsylvania State Republican Party, they don't really have anything to do with it. It's all, it's primaries. It's their stuff. Why are there laws? Why does it go through the electoral process on, you know, a special election day just for them? But I'm being told by our producer that he's got a funny clip that he'd like to play. So go ahead, Mike. Let's hear it.
Formula, no chili pie.
No. Chili pea's my signature.
Chili peas, my signature. That's, of course, from Breaking Bad. Hence me earlier saying the chili pea rock candy. Chili pea being chili pepper. And if you didn't watch the show, you, man, that's funny stuff. It's there's a point in the show when the two main characters, Jesse and Walter, are being held hostage by this guy who hates Chili Pepper, but they don't know that. And he's making them burritos. And Jesse, the guy you just heard in that clip, was like, oh, yeah, it's the bomb. It's the stuff, man. Like, I put chili pea in it. And the guy who's holding him hostage is like, man, I hate Chili Pepper. And he just throws the food. Therefore, they were trying to poison him, but it didn't work because he hates Chili Pepper.
Ridiculous. You and I will not make garbage. We will produce chemically pure and stable products. No adulterants, no baby formula, no chili pie.
No, no. Chili peas, my signature.
Oh, good stuff, Mike. Thanks for queuing that up. I greatly appreciate it. Oh, man. I gave you a lot of personal information in the last 2 hours. I don't usually do that. Not that I'm trying to hide anything about my personal life. I just don't find my own personal life that interesting. So I assume that you wouldn't either. So now what do you know about me? You know I'm a mailman. You know I'm a Pennsylvania State Constable. You know I'm getting fat and I'm building a home gym. And I might try to figure out how to make a Breaking Bad themed food truck, which might sound like a crazy idea. Because so many restaurants and so many food-related industries go bad so quickly. Like the average, I mean, most restaurants and most food businesses can't survive the first 5 years. But I actually have a little bit of a knowledge about that. I spent 27 years in the hospitality industry. I taught people how to run restaurants. I ran restaurants and the food departments of hotels and nursing homes. I actually know the business really well. And one thing I know better than most is calculating costs. So should we decide and should we figure out a way to actually make this Breaking Bad food truck go? I think I could make it work. I honestly think I could make a legit business out of it. I don't know if I'd make enough money to give up my beautiful day job as a rural carrier for the I don't know how to make that sound good. I really don't like being a mail carrier, but it does pay well. So anyway, let's go back to the Breaking Bad. So we had the birthday breakfast, you know, fried eggs, hash browns, and bacon in the number of your age, the healthy version, which was vegetable bacon spelled out in the number of your age, huevos rancheros, the Tuco burrito, Tuco being the guy that had the two guys held hostage, and the burrito that he made for them when they were trying to poison him. Then the prisoner special. If you watch the show, you remember Crazy 8? Crazy 8 was locked in the basement, and Walter was supposed to kill him, but couldn't get over it. Couldn't get to the, you know, I'm going to kill a guy. And they had Crazy 8 locked in the basement, and he kept feeding them, and he was feeding them a bologna sandwich. It was mayonnaise, cheese, and bologna, and some potato chips. So we got a prisoner special on our you know, fake Breaking Bad-themed food truck menu. And, of course, there was no crust on the sandwich. See, Crazy 8 would rip the crust off his sandwich, so Walter started cutting them off himself. Then we got Chili Pea Rock Candy and the Blue Sky Rock Candy. Funny stuff. I would have a lot of fun with that if we would ever be able to run it off to get it going. This isn't why you come here. This isn't why you listen to me. You listen to me for politics. Because, well, I assume that's why you listen. That's the only thing I've ever really talked about. But what else is there to talk about? I believe 27 states are now constitutional carry states where you can carry a firearm without getting a license from the state. 27, that's over half. Yeah, I like that. That's a good thing. But at the same time, we've got other states going the other way. We've got Washington State trying to pass a semi-automatic rifle ban. So we've got that national divorce thing starting to happen in our country. We've got red states becoming more red and blue states becoming more blue. Is that a good thing? Or is that a bad thing? You know, during the Civil War, there was a pretty clear dividing line. Generally, we refer to it as the Mason-Dixon line, even though that had nothing to do with it. The southern states were on one side, and the northern states were on another. I don't know that a line would be that clear if we go to this national divorce process that we've got going on right now. I don't think you can just draw a line on a map and set it up as this is the blue side and this is the red side. It's more nuanced than that. And it's even gotten to the point that it's more nuanced than that within an individual state. I mean, here in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, we're mostly a red state, like many other states, mostly conservative states. But the population centers turn more and more blue and more socialist. So if you look at an electoral map of the state of Pennsylvania, you've got a blue area around Philadelphia, a blue area around Pittsburgh, a little bit of blue around Harrisburg, the capital, a little bit of blue up in Erie, and a little bit of blue right here where I live, in Centre County, Pennsylvania, where Penn State University is. But the rest of the state is all red. But yet we went for Joe Biden the last time around, because it's the population centers that turn blue. And why is that? That's something I have yet to figure out. Maybe that's something that you can help me with. Is there a listener out there that can explain why the population centers, why the cities always seem to go blue? 512-248-8252. Or toll free at 800-313-9443. So that's two conversations that I'd really love to have. Why do cities always turn blue? And what do you think is going to happen with this lawsuit in Michigan where these middle schoolers can't wear their Let's Go Brandon sweatshirts because they're quote-unquote vulgar? Either one of those, I think, would be great conversations to talk about. But, of course, as caller, you can call in and we can talk about whatever you like. Right now, one of the things I'm keeping an eye on is the idea that the digital currency thing and how it ties into the green agenda and the statement, I don't know, was it a week ago, 2 weeks ago? The J.P. Morgan CEO, was it Jamie Dimon? He came out, outright said that we might have to, you know, government might have to use eminent domain and take your property in order to fund the green agenda. Wow. Like, can you imagine 20 years ago anybody coming out and saying something like that? Now statements like that are made all the time, and it doesn't go anywhere. It doesn't get the horrible news headlines that it should. Nobody should be suggesting that, ever. But he says it, and it's just a blip on the radar. The green agenda that this current administration and the leadership of the Democrat Party is pushing is going to cost so much money that the CEO of JP Morgan Chase doesn't think it can be funded without taking your property. But Joe Biden seems to think it can be funded just by, well, we'll just make more money. Was it AOC the one time when she was asked, you know, where does this money come from? How do we pay for this? And she said, we just pay for it. There's the problem in D.C. That's emblematic of the whole problem of D.C. Nobody in Washington, D.C. views the money that they have, the money that they spend, as our money, the taxpayers' money. See, we elect these people kind of like a church, right? You have a treasurer, you have, you know, people that count the collection at the end of the day. These people are all trusted to be good stewards of the money. And just like in a church, you know, sometimes if you turn your head and you trust them without checking, sometimes, well, one of them's a crook. But in the case of Washington, D.C., we turned our head, and it turns out that almost all of them are crooks. Even if they're not there lining their own pockets, like the Biden family seems to be doing, according to all the accusations out there, all the stuff on Hunter's laptop and the 10% to the big guy. Even if the people there aren't lining their own pockets, they're still not treating our money, the public funds, with the respect that it deserves. We, the people, are paying for almost everything anywhere. See, left or right really shouldn't matter when it comes to the money, right? If you're a left-wing person, let's say you're a out-and-out socialist that lives in California, well, you should be outraged when a state like Tennessee passes the whole transgender affirming care for minor ban, because your tax money from California went up to the federal government and then got divvied back up, and part of it went to Tennessee. So you're a lefty liberal and you're paying for a right-wing extremist agenda. And if you're like me and you are on the right side of the political aisle, well, then you should be offended about the left-wing political agenda that's being pushed in other states. That's all part of the problem. All of the money in our country now flows to the federal government, giving the federal government all of the power. Because they use the money that they divvy back out to the states as leverage. That is a huge part of the problem with our country today. That's not a federalist system of government like was established here. That's the opposite of a federal system of government. Well, it's downright communist. And it became communist the minute that we adopted the communist idea from the Communist Manifesto to have a progressive income tax in this country. That one simple idea that may have been innocently adopted. I wasn't alive in 1913. Maybe the idea was it would be easier if the people just paid the federal government directly rather than going through the states. Maybe it was an innocent idea. But it was straight from the Communist Manifesto. And because of that simple idea, our federal government has been able to grow to 440 federal departments and agencies, long past what our Constitution authorizes and allows. That's our show for this evening. If you're listening live on Republic Broadcasting Network, stay tuned for The Edge of Darkness with Jeffrey Bennett. Thank you to Dr. Jen Vandewater for joining us earlier. Thank you, Mike, my producer. Could not do the show without you. Thank you, the callers and listeners. You are why I continue to do this show, even with all of the technical difficulties. Until next week, protect your liberties. Once they're gone, there's no getting them back. God bless America.
Do you truly want to stay out of the system? Are you prepared to buy into the biggest scam since the Iraqi dinar? If not, then put your money where it belongs, in your possession, not in the hands of an international MLM cartel. At Kettle Moraine Limited, we will provide you with the finest Swiss-minted detachable gram sheets of pure 24-karat gold for hundreds of dollars less than the so-called privately issued credit cards with elusive gold backing. Gold backing? The only gold that I want is in my back pocket, not backed by promises of an operation even the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is suspect of, giving a rating of C-. To get the full story, visit Sierra Madre Precious Metals.com and go to the Valcombe Bullion Vault. Once you have read the whole story about the scam being perpetrated on an unsuspecting public and how you can avoid being a victim by purchasing these beautiful, barterable, tradable sheets of gold at tremendous savings and in the strictest of privacy, be prepared to take the steps to protect your wealth with the purchase of the real deal. Detachable 50-gram gold bars from Kettle Moraine Limited by calling 602-799-8214. Ask about our 1-ounce Valcombe detachable bars, which break into 1/10-ounce bars. And don't forget, for all of your precious metal needs, whether buying or having the need to sell, call Kettle Moraine Limited. Remember, no dinar, no celery, and no carrots. If you buy from someone else, tell them you want AU, not BS. Call Kettle Moraine LTD today at 602-799-8214. Kettle Moraine LTD, 602-799-8214.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.